I am Vernon Joins, and at this time we will be discussing the little word happiness. And I'm sure that all of us know what it means to be happy. We know what it means to be unhappy. And I need not ask you which you would rather be, because I believe that I know what the answer would be. Someone once wrote these words, "Never have people had more and more, but enjoyed it less and less. The standard of living has gone higher and higher, but the standard of life has gone lower and lower. In a land of abundance, we never learned how to abound." Someone said that there are three secrets to happiness: money, money, money. Superficially, this might sound admissible or even logical, but that's all that it is, superficial. It does not reach down deep inside where it matters the most. If you don't believe that, list all the most progressive countries in the world, and you will find in them the highest crime, suicide, and divorce rates anywhere. Money does not equate to happiness or peace of mind. So how can we have real and true happiness? The number one book and bestseller of all times, read by more people than any book ever published, translated into over 2,000 languages, survivor of centuries of persecution, offers the following answers. And let's just briefly take a look at them. First, it tells us to depend on God. Of all people, we know that humans are not dependable. We even let ourselves down. We cannot depend on things either. These things that we refer to, God has promised that He'll supply all of those that we need, so why should we spend a lot of time being concerned about them? They're temporary, they're futile, and even dangerous on occasion. On the other hand, you can count on God. He is everlasting, all-powerful, and all-knowing. He is the shelter in the time of storm. He's the rock of ages, the Alpha and the Omega. In Psalms 23 and Philippians 4, 6, 7, 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, and verses 16 and 17, and even the Lord Himself in Matthew 11:28 extends to us an invitation. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That's the promise of the Lord. Second, accept what you are and what you have. Stop pretending. Get past the denial stage. Accept pain, suffering, disappointment, and move on with your life. Paul says, "Learn to be content in whatsoever circumstances you are," in Philippians 4:11-13. You can also take a look at 1 Corinthians 7 and 24 and 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, where we are invited to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Third, live in the present and not in the past. Someone once wrote these lines: "Yesterday is gone, it's gone forever. Tomorrow may never come, but you have today. Use it. Don't waste it. Savor it. Enjoy it. There will never be another day just like today. When it's gone, it's gone forever." We might read such passages as a part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:25-34, where God promises to take care of us. In Philippians 4:4-13, again He does. In 2 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. Finally, aim for worthwhile goals. First things first, on the top of our priority list must be the things of the Word, not the things of the world. Jesus reminded us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Paul said, "Set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth," in Colossians 3 and verse 2. And Paul could remind us again and again, of the aim for money, of power, of fame, and this above all else in many people's minds, these people will find themselves wanting in the end. In conclusion, the great apostle Paul summed it up by saying, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on such things. In Philippians 4 and verse 8.